All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm talking to you from New York City on this, the 12th day of October, 2021. And before I talk to you more about today's show, I do like to remind you, I'm the editor of a newsletter called Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks. We focus to a great extent on the junior exploration sector, which I think, despite the recent decline in that sector, I think it's one of the most exciting and promising sectors that you can look at. And I'll try to explain that. John Rubino and I talk the second half of today's show, explain why that is the case. Also like to encourage you to consider signing up for Chen Lin's letter, What is Chen Buying, What is Chen Selling? ChenPicks.com is a place to go for that. And Michael Oliver, OliverMSA.com. Michael will be with us in just a moment. Also like to encourage you to keep sending along your comments, whatever they may be, about this show to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. And we do want to thank our sponsors. They make this show possible. Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Han and Metals, Labrador Gold Corp, Lion One Metals, SK Mining Corp, and Firefox Gold are the sponsors for today's show. I've titled today's show, Three Card Monty with President Biden. Playing Three Card Monty with President Biden, that is. John Rubino, Michael Oliver, and Dr. Quentin Henning return as guests today. David Stockman was going to be our guest in the second half of today's show, but a last-minute conflict made it impossible for him to be with us, so John Rubino will take his place in the second half of today's show. In any event, President Biden asked us not to believe our lying eyes. He says the U.S. border is closed. America's exit from Afghanistan has made America safer. The $3.5 trillion human infrastructure program will cost nothing, or so it seems, because the Federal Reserve can simply create dollars out of nothing from keystrokes of a computer. In David Stockman's recent article titled Washington Idiots at Work, he suggested low IQs of elected officials in Washington are to blame for America's obvious economic decline. However, I believe that policies put into effect like those at the border or Afghanistan withdrawal or the $3.5 to $5 trillion, however you count it, zero-cost human infrastructure bill proposed by the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party are not orchestrated due to low IQ, but rather very intentional policies, actually not unlike the thieves who pick the pockets of visitors to the New York City streets in the games of Three Card Monty. If you've ever seen those played, you think, I should be able to pick the right card. Every time the poor sucker that gets into the game loses the money he puts down. It's a no-win situation. Well, I'm suggesting that the policies that we're seeing and the propaganda that comes your way every day, they're sort of like a Three Card Monty. Regardless of the current and past policies that are leading to the social and economic decline of America, whether they're intentional or whether they're, as David Stockman suggests, just out of idiocy, the results are the same. So we will talk about some of these issues with John Rubino in the second half of today's show. Right after our first commercial break, Quentin Henning will join me to give us an update on Lion One Metals. That's a company with near production potential in in Fiji, the Tuvutu project, which is a very high grade, and now we're learning a much larger deposit than initially thought. So Quentin Henning will be with me right after the first commercial break. But right now I'm happy to tell you that Michael Oliver has joined me once again to give us his latest takes on some of the key markets. Thanks for being with us again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Good. It's always good to have you, needless to say. So the markets. I look at these equity markets and I think, geez, you know, I mean, it looks to me, if you take a look at the chart, just the price chart, that we're looking at what seems to be a long-term topping process. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think we're topping right now. Now, we're very number-specific, though. In other words, when we analyze something, it's not just sort of broad stroke, oh, this is no good, this is good. We're looking at numbers, and we specified an initial breakdown number for the S&P over the last several weeks, and it adjusts each week. It's a weekly adjustable number. And 2 weeks ago, there was a 90-mile-an-hour collapse early in the morning, early last week, I think it was, and they got within four S&P points of our trigger number.
Yeah.
And they rallied and exploded off that low, you know, a good percent or two. And then they keep repeatedly coming down toward our adjusted number, but not touching it. Mm-hmm. And this week it's at 42.90, for example. It's we're now 43.50 area. So it's about we're about a percent and a half above the number right now. But that number adjusts up each week about 15 points. And we're not rallying off of it that much. In other words, we keep getting down close to the number. And you see a market that responds to your number. And it's not some big round number either. It's not like, you know, 4,300 or some rounded price number. It's a very specific number. And the market behaves like it means something. Like, I don't want to touch that. Like it's a landmine. It is. Yeah. Now, we've got two levels on the S&P and on the NASDAQ. And if we break the first tier of what we call momentum breakage levels, we think there's a good chance that there'll be enough weakness following that to in turn break annual momentum. Now, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very long-term metric. And so right now, we can't say it's top. We think it's probably in the process. When it hit the first tier of our numbers, we'll then say, okay, this process is probably now underway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look for a crash. I look for an arm wrestling match, much like we've seen it for the last, let's say, month of decline. I think that the Fed will try to defend the market. It has to. It's an asset category that's essential for many reasons for Fed policy to be sustained. And I'm sure if it is perceived to be in trouble, the Fed's going to do everything they can to keep it out of trouble. So I think that will help support the market, but it will not stop a downturn.
Mm-hmm.
It will just make it erratic. Now, in the process, the reverse side of that, I think gold will be a beneficiary, and probably T-bonds for a short-term period of time on the upside, both of them. Gold, you know, we've been badgered. Well, we had the March low, which we thought was the low. We even put parentheses around the low. And since then, since June, there have been multiple sell-offs, mostly wrapped around the notion of Fed tapering.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were a bear selling into this market, I'd be getting a little frustrated now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, June, July, August, September, now we're in October, and we're still not breaking the market down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we drove the miners below recent lows. They popped back above them. Silver went down and took out its low of the last 14 months by all of 50 cents and immediately popped back above it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not, if you're a bear, you're really not making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're being teased, and the clock is ticking, and, you know, let's see it then, okay? And I don't see it. I think their clock has run out, the bear clock. And right now we've got some numbers above the gold market and above the silver market that are not far above, a couple percent, frankly, in gold, and maybe 5% or so in silver. If they can get the markets up to those levels, we think we can then circle and put an exclamation mark on the price charts, on the momentum charts, and say, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. We're now resuming the upside.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's just like the S&P the other way. We've got numbers. They're not far away. We think that the monetary metal bears should be getting frustrated right about now. I would be if I were short. Because they've thrown everything they can at gold, and they can't seem to break it down.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, you know, we're seeing oil prices, a lot of commodity prices really taking off, but energy, of course, is the most important one mm-hmm. in terms of the economy. And mm-hmm. you have to wonder, you know, to what extent interest rates have been rising, and to what extent that is, you know, the Fed likes us to believe that they're in charge. And so the tapering, you know, they talk tapering and all that, and the market goes, ooh, you know, but is it really the Fed, or is it the forces of markets? We've got inflation mm-hmm. rising. Is the Fed proactive, or are they reacting to market forces, I guess is what I'm asking.
They're reacting, and they don't control the long end of the market. You know, the 30-year and the 10-year stuff, it's a bit out of their reach in terms of corralling and giving it direction. They impact the very short-term stuff, of course, we know. But the 30-year bond has been, I think, probably declining because of that rising commodity price inflation. We've always had inflation. It's just gone into other things like stock market.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now the inflation's going into commodities. Why? Because asset managers and investors are shifting their preferences out of what they consider to be a high-risk old bull market, stock market, into an upturn in commodities, which had been depressed since 2015 at very low levels. So it's a risk-reward decision, and it's beyond the control of the Fed. But a short-term rally in T-bonds we don't regard as something that's based on the inflation issue. I think it's based more on that simple issue of a place to park your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're moving it out of stocks, where are you going to put it? Some people put it in gold and T-bonds. Some people just put it in T-bonds. But I think it's a flight to safety issue if we see T-bonds rally. Mm-hmm. And that would mean that you flip it upside down, it probably means the S&P is in trouble. Mm-hmm. So all these pieces fit together, and I think we're very close to triggering them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gold mm-hmm. up, T-bonds up, and stock market down.
All right. Well, at some point, if inflation continues to rise, and I think there's evidence that it will, you know, if they keep printing money and keep pumping money in, now I know the Fed talks tapering, but, you know, like, how far are they going to taper? I mean, as you said, they have to protect the stock market. They have to protect it for various reasons.
Well, it gets weak in the next month or two, okay?
Yeah,
and
right.
get 7-10% off the high, for example, mm-hmm. Where people start to get nervous.
Yeah.
Biden's got a lot of problems, you know, political popularity problems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's all he needs is the stock market to get wobbly now.
Right.
And there's a decision coming up in February, we all know, whether mm-hmm. Powell's going to continue or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if Powell is perceived to be part of the reason the stock market's going down because of his taper talk, I'm going to bet he doesn't get the job again.
Uh-huh.
In which case, we know who will. So that could end very easily.
Who will? Who's sitting on the sidelines wanting that job now?
What's her name? Is her name Brainerd? Is that correct?
Maybe that's the one, yeah. Well, yeah, I just don't know who. I mean, yeah, why would anyone in their right mind?
Her name slipped me, but she's a woman. She's very much a printer of money.
That
wing of the party would definitely like to see done. Powell out and her in. So not that ultimately changes the long-term direction. The Fed prints all the time anyway. So, you know, it's nickel dime. But anyway, it's Powell's not got a sure thing here.
No, I wouldn't think so. And he might want to stop talking taper pretty soon.
Yeah, he may cease the taper speeches.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to say. But, I mean, if if we keep seeing higher inflation rates, higher interest rates, and then they have to print more money to try to suppress the interest rates, inflation, I mean, you know, monetary and fiscal policy both put into place like no time since the 1970s. I remember Arthur Burns and G. William Miller and that inflationary route that we had then. It looks an awful lot like that time, except then we could it could be corrected by high interest rates, which Volcker mm-hmm. did, but I guess nobody believes that's possible now.
Well, there's one thing they can't control, and that's the energy situation, and I think it's headed for a real crisis this winter, and mm-hmm. not just because of the winter, but because of what they've done to natural gas and oil supplies globally.
Right.
There's power shutdowns going on around the world, including in Germany, India, you know, UK's got problems. Transportation has been fouled up because of this. This is part three of Atlas Shrugged. Things are coming mm-hmm. apart, and they seem to be unlinked, but they are, because they're the result of decades of certain government policies in various arenas, whether it's energy policy, taxation, artificially low interest rates. All these things have created errors, and the errors are starting to be exposed. And I think the energy rally we're seeing now, which is going to get quite a bit stronger in our assessment over the next several months, quite a bit, that destroys a lot of corporations' profit margins.
Right.
Badly. They've gone from extremely low energy costs over the last several years to suddenly it's a factor. Mm-hmm. And steel plants in the UK are having to shut down because of power costs. I mean, I've read plenty of stories about various companies that have nothing to do directly with the banking sector or anything financial, but simply producing products and consuming energy, mm-hmm. and their profits are going away.
Right. So lack of supply.
That's going to affect the stock market as well.
Well, lack of supply, higher prices, shortages, more money printed to try to correct everything, which is the only thing the Fed knows to do. These people think that they can create money, and the money supply has nothing to do with inflation, you know? That's what they're believing. That's what the Keynesians are believing.
Well, that is inflation.
I mean, Atlas Shrugged is one thing. You suppose Joe Biden's ever read it?
Oh, probably not.
No.
The main point of the third section of Atlas Shrugged, which is titled A is A, is that these events that accumulated and accumulated, when they come unraveled, rapidly, shockingly, seemingly uncoordinated, but in fact they are. And I think we're on the edge of that right now.
Yeah. Well, we better be ready, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Michael. Well, thank you, I guess, for that warning.
You,
but it is what it is, and we want to know the truth.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to go to break now, but don't go away. Dr. Quentin Henning will be with us to give us an update on Lion One. That's a company that I think you want to keep your eyes on. Lion One Metals, it's a great story. Very high-grade gold deposit that's going to get a lot larger the way things look. So we'll be right back with Dr. Quentin Henning.
Firefox Gold is actively exploring in Finland, where recent discoveries have sparked a new gold rush. Firefox controls a major portion of a prospective gold belt, giving the company a distinct advantage for exploration and strategic partnerships. The company's strong international leadership team, combined with its Finland-based exploration specialists, will put Firefox on the crest of the coming wave of gold discoveries. Firefox Gold trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FFOX. Go to firefoxgold.com to subscribe for updates.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.